Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Thursday, June 22nd, 2023. Happenings. What's Up with Midland by Morgan Taylor Thomas. At the Blue Door. Clueless Trivia, June 29th. At Centennial Park. Movie in the Park, Thursday. Music in the Park, June 30th. At the Destination. Bring Your Own Blues Jam, Thursday. Friday Night Live, Gone by Nine, Friday. Case Harden, Saturday. Friday Night Live, The Day Trips, June 30th. At Earth, Body, and Soul. Walk-in tarot reading every Tuesday. Walk-in Reiki energy clearing every Wednesday. Self-live spell jar make and take event, June 29th. At the Horseshoe. Rig Zone Career Fair, Thursday. At the Museum of the Southwest. Downtown Midland Farmers Market, every Saturday. Summer Sunday Lawn Concert Series, Sunday. Sci Friday, Independence Day, June 30th. At Velvet Mesquite. Piercing Party, June 28th. At Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center, Cinema Under the Stars, Top Gun, Sunday. At the Blakemore Planetarium, Independence Day, Sci Friday, June 30th. Three things to do in Midland this weekend, June 23rd through 25th, by Morgan Taylor Thomas. Rock out with Gone by Nine. A hot spot for local bands, the Destination makes way for a Gone by Nine takeover. The Tall City alternative rock band has made moves in the Midland-Odessa music scene since 2020 and provides entertaining, noteworthy shows packed with head-banging songs and good vibes. No cover charge. A full bar and food truck will be operating. Friday, doors open at 7, show at 9. 1705 West Industrial. Celebrate summer with a brunch party. Looking for an adult-only late morning start, packed with good vibes and yummy selections? Hoop and Barrel will host a summer brunch party special for anyone 21 and up, alongside DJ Brian Salazar. Menu items include $14 mimosa flights, orange, pineapple, grapefruit, pomegranate cranberry, strawberry lemonade, desert pear, watermelon, and passion fruit flavors. $18 mimosa carafes, Mexican candy mimosas, Irish breakfast shots, espresso shots, and the only two per guest breakfast bombs. For food, waffle boards fill the bill. Spot table reservation is highly encouraged and can be made by calling 432-262-0156. Saturdays, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., 3211 West Wadley, Suite 21. Join Tom Cruise in the AC. With the heat staying above 100 degrees, finding something to do inside is a priority. head over to the Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center for a midday showing of Top Gun in the comfort of its large auditorium, equipped with cushioned seats. Before the screening, enjoy lunch and other treats from homegrown food trucks while you shop Kendra Scott's pop-up shop, where 20% of proceeds will benefit a local Midland Odessa charity. Tickets are free, but every attendee, LAP, children, babies, infants, will all need a ticket. Reserve your seat at wagnerknoll.com or at the box office. Free popcorn will also be available. Sunday, food trucks 1:30 to 3:30 p.m. Movie starts at 3 p.m. 1310 North FM 1788. Gun and Blade Show. Ector County Coliseum, Building G. Buy, sell, trade. June 24th and 25th. Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Sunday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Admission, cash only. $8 for adults. Ages 5 through 12, $1. Two-day passes, $14, cash only. Law enforcement free with proper ID. $1 off military or NRA with ID, TSRA. Only one discount per admission. 350 tables. For information, info at silverspurtradeshows.com. Phone 806-253-1322.
Here are some obituaries that appeared in the Midland Reporter-Telegram on Thursday, June 22nd. Paul Brian Weaver passed away in Midland on Thursday, June 8. Paul was born on September 3, 1968, in Lubbock, Texas. A memorial service will be held at Ellis Rest Haven Funeral Home in Midland on Friday, June 23, at 2 p.m. Paul is preceded in death by his mother, Faye Baker, stepfather, Somas Baker Jr., and his brother, Brent Weaver. Paul is survived by his sister, Shonda Thompson, nephew, Caitlin Tate, their children, nephew, Josh Carey, Trent Thompson, Cody Thompson, and Trey Thompson, nieces, Brittany Thompson, and Cassie Rendon. Paul worked 25 years at Pioneer and was honored for his hard work, loyalty, and dedication to the company. Arrangements are under the direction of Ellis Rest Haven Funeral Home and Memorial Park of Midland. Online condolences can be made at ellisfunerals.com. Juan Carlos Huizar Ruval Caba, age 30, passed away June 16th in Midland. Viewing was held Saturday, June 17th at Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home. Funeral services will be held in his hometown of Villa Hidalgo, Jalisco, Mexico. Funeral arrangements are under the care and direction of Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home. Online condolences can be made at asanchezTFH.com. Nathaniel Nate Paul Johnson, age 44, of Midland, passed away on June 18th on Father's Day. A memorial service will be held at 2 p.m. on Sunday, June 25th, at Willowbrook Funeral Home, 1311 West Florida Avenue in Midland, with the Reverend Dr. Jimmy Braswell officiating. Services are entrusted to Willowbrook Funeral Home and Cremation Services of Midland. To place online condolences, please visit www.willowbrk.com. Wendell Brown, age 72, of Midland, passed away June 19th. Visitation will be held from 5:30 p.m. to 7 p.m. Thursday, June 22nd, at First Methodist Church in Midland. Funeral service will be held at 2 p.m. Friday, June 23rd, at First Methodist in Midland. Graveside service will be held at 11 a.m. Saturday, June 24th, at Plainview Cemetery in Plainview, Texas. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory in Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com.
Good morning, this is Kim, and I'm reading the Odessa American. Today's date is Thursday, June 22nd. Rangers won't investigate mayor. AG's office could step in to probe complaints. The Texas Rangers will not be investigating Odessa Mayor Javier Hoven for allegedly violating the Texas Open Meetings Act or the Odessa City Charter. However, Major Wayne Matthews has offered to help Ector County District Attorney Dusty Gallivan refer the matter to the Texas Attorney General's office. My experience with these matters has been the Texas Attorney General's office is a secondary resource for examining complex or ambiguous conduct by a governmental administration that may be of a criminal concern, Matthews wrote. Gallivan said Wednesday morning he has not yet decided if he will ask the AG's office to investigate. Assistant City Manager Aaron Smith was fired March 1st after he approached Gallivan, the Rangers, and the AG's office asking them to investigate Hoven following the December 13th termination of City Manager Michael Marrero and City Attorney Natasha Brooks. During that meeting, Hoven didn't allow members of the public to speak on the terminations in advance of the vote. The council voted to fire the pair again on January 9th after allowing the public to speak. Smith also asked for an investigation to be launched because Hoven hired T2 Professional Consulting to help replace Marrero for $338,000 within hours of the termination, perhaps violating the city's charter, which states contracts must be vetted by the city's legal staff and city manager before they are signed. It also states the city council has to approve all contracts requiring the appropriation of funds. Interim City Attorney Dan Jones didn't sign the contract until 2 days after it was executed and a $50,000 check was cut. Interim City Manager Agapito Bernal never signed it. Hoven has said Smith was fired because he interfered in an investigation, but has declined to comment further. According to records, the AG's office forced the city to turn over to the Odessa American. Smith went to the Odessa Police Department in February to report a city employee for tracking a female Odessa Police Department officer with GPS, actions he thought might be criminal. Smith, who is currently a finalist at the Siloam Springs City Administrator position in Arkansas, filed a whistleblower lawsuit against the city in April. His attorney, former Ector County District Attorney Bobby Bland, said Wednesday they are proceeding with that lawsuit but declined to comment further. The Rangers have also decided not to investigate Hoven about his emails. Longtime Odessa businessman Ronnie Lewis asked Hoven be investigated after Hoven admitted in February he routinely deletes his emails. In February, Odessa American interview, Hoven said, "The one thing that I was taught, you get an email, you destroy it. You don't keep anything. This is what's being taught in every faction. Destroy this, 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 and this. You just delete. You keep nothing." In a later radio interview, Hovind gave conflicting information when asked if he deleted emails. "I didn't. I don't have any government official emails. This is a false narrative, once again, by the local paper to be able to create something that is completely false. I have over 3,000 to 4,000 emails, and we know that some of our IT people have been leaking our emails, and they've been going through, and the thing is, it's been vetted. That is a completely totally false narrative by the local paper. Public officials are required to keep their emails dealing with public business regardless of whether the email is related to a government-issued email address or a private one." Kelly Shannon, Executive Director of the Freedom of Information Foundation of Texas, said it's important for officials to keep their emails. "Public records should be retained for a reasonable period of time so citizens can view the documents and hold their government accountable. In fact, the state set retention schedules for all sorts of local government records, a routine practice of deleting official emails quickly so that no one can view them isn't in keeping with the spirit of the Texas Public Information Act," Shannon said. On Wednesday, Lewis said he'd like some answers. "I'd like to know the truth, but after recently becoming aware of our mayor's prior work experience, I can see where it could be just a total lack of experience and professionalism as opposed to something shady," Lewis said. According to Hovind's biography on the city's website, he spent 10 years as a sous chef and pastry chef. He also lists himself as the owner of a roofing company, but Lewis said he hasn't been able to find anyone who has hired Hovind to replace or repair their roof. "If it was another mayor, one that wasn't in this group, Jeff Russell would be investigating this," Lewis said, referring to the Odessa Headlines publisher and Republican precinct chair. Lewis says he hopes the citizens of Odessa are paying attention to what's going on and vote accordingly next November. "You know, if the Texas Rangers or Dusty Gallivan won't investigate, it's something that I hope the voters would be aware of. It's just another example of non-conforming from our mayor. It seems like it's okay when he non-conforms, but nobody else can, he said. Hovind did not respond to an email seeking comment. Pfluger sets events. U.S. Representative August Pfluger, Republican, Texas, will hold a town hall at noon June 26 at the Bush Convention Center, 105 North Main Street, Midland. The town hall is open to the public. Pfluger will also host Coffee with Your Congressman at 8 a.m. Tuesday at the Press Cafe, 4400 Parks Legato Road, located inside Sewell Ford, Lincoln, at Parks Legato Town Center. 2-year-old drowns in West Odessa. A 2-year-old boy drowned Tuesday evening in a West Odessa swimming pool. According to the Ector County Sheriff's Office, deputies responded to an ambulance call in the 2300 block of North Rebecca Avenue around 7:20 p.m. When they arrived, CPR was being performed on the boy, who had been found unresponsive in an above-ground pool. The child was taken to Medical Center Hospital, where he was pronounced deceased by medical personnel. Ector County Sheriff Mike Griffiths said the event was a tragedy. "The child was only out of sight for a few minutes. I can't imagine what the family is going through," he said. Bob Ross Fest returns. Happy Little Trees and Clouds are coming your way as part of the Basin PBS's Ross Fest, June 23rd and 24th at the Copper Rose, 415 North Grant Avenue. Friday's session goes from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. and is adults only, age 21 and up. The Friday evening session is sold out, Basin PBS Creative Director Allison Trevino said. Family sessions for ages 13 and over are 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. or 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. Saturday. Supplies and instruction are included, but reservations are required. Tickets are available at basinpbs.org or by calling 432-563-5728 or at tinyurl.com/5dsnva9k. There will also be a Bob Ross look-alike contest both days with prizes and food trucks both days. The adults-only session includes a cash bar. It is a fundraiser for the station. Ross was the creator and host of the public television program, The Joy of Painting. It was made possible with support from the Odessa Arts Council. This is the second Bob Ross Fest. The first edition last year was held at the PBS station in Midland. Larry Weirs of Houston is returning this year as the instructor. There are about 20 seats per class. To actually have a Bob Ross Fest, you have to get a Bob Ross certified instructor, which we have. There are different focuses for different instructors, such as landscapes, Trevino said. She added that Weirs is certified in everything. Participants at all ability levels. A lot of people have never painted before. Some are more artistic than others, but last year it was amazing to see everybody of every skill level walk away excited about what they painted, and they all liked what they painted. They were all really good, Trevino said. The painters create their works themselves. He has a table and he demonstrates on his own canvas, and then the class will do it and he'll walk around and instruct them, but he won't do it for them, Trevino said. The Ross Fest takes a couple of months to plan. They have to schedule the event and rent a location if it's not at the PBS studio. You want to make sure the instructor's available and the room's available. Past that, then it's more about promotion, getting your seats filled, and getting everybody excited about it, Trevino said. People seem really excited about it. Hopefully, we'll have three full classes. We had three full classes last year. She added that everybody had a great time last year, so she anticipates the same will be true this year. He's a fun instructor. He likes to paint, he's good at it, and he makes you feel confident, even if you've never picked up a paintbrush before, Trevino said. 500 grams of cocaine seized, arrests made. Two Odessa men were arrested on drug charges Tuesday after detectives found roughly 500 grams of cocaine in a home within 1,000 feet of Edward Burleson Elementary School. According to an Odessa Police Department report, detectives with the intelligence unit executed a narcotics search warrant on a home on Paradise Avenue Wednesday and found the cocaine in the master bedroom's bathroom. Juan Antonio Cardenas told detectives the master bedroom was his and all of the cocaine was his, the report stated. He was arrested on suspicion of manufacturing delivery of a controlled substance, a first-degree felony punishable by 5 years to life in prison. He is being held in the Ector County Jail on a U.S. Marshal's hold and a $15,000 surety bond. According to the report, Francisco Javier Cardenas, who had 1 gram of cocaine in his pocket, was arrested on suspicion of possession of a controlled substance, a third-degree felony. He remains in the Ector County Jail Wednesday on a $25,000 surety hold. Young professionals voice optimism about Odessa. Young professionals from a variety of business and nonprofit sectors offered reasons they're optimistic about Odessa and advice on ways to get involved in the community at a coffee and community conversation hosted by Odessa College Wednesday. Held in the Zent Room of the Salisbury Campus Center, it was emceed by Reagan Paquette, Director of the Educator Preparation Program and Learning Frameworks at OC. The panel included Kaylee Banda, Vice President Commercial Lender and Chairwoman of Young Professionals of Odessa, Erin Thomas, Disaster Program Manager at the Red Cross, Mallory Langford, Director of Marketing for University of Texas Permian Basin, Savannah Morales, an experienced business owner and CEO of the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, Keegan Scott, Executive Assistant to the Vice President of Instruction at AOC, and Savannah Woodward, Business Development Coordinator at OC. Paquette and the panelists serve in many capacities in a variety of organizations in the community. Paquette asked the panel questions, and they took questions from the audience, and people listened to the live stream. Several panelists are from Odessa, but they may have left and returned. The consensus is that the people bring you back and keep you here. My reason for Odessa changed over time. I'm from Andrews. I graduated from high school in Andrews and then left and went out of state for college, and I didn't really have the intention of coming back to West Texas, Scott said. But he's from a big, close family, and he missed them. Scott had attended OC as a dual-credit student in high school and had a chance to work there. I kind of had my mindset reframed around why being here in Odessa is such a cool experience at this moment in time. There's a lot of need in our community, but with that comes a lot of opportunity. I feel very lucky to be up here with all of you talking about Odessa and why we love Odessa, but also I've come to really love the people. As you said, relationships are what keeps me here. It's about the people who are in this room. It's about the people who fill up our everyday lives that make Odessa so special, Scott said. Banda said there are a lot of organizations that suit someone's interests, so can help them professionally. Maybe you are a young business owner and you need to get your name out there. There are chambers for that. Keegan touched on relationships. I think relationships are the basis of everything we do out here, of how we live our lives. Getting plugged into any one of these organizations is a great resource for young professionals, Banda said. Woodward said she agreed with Thomas that there are tons of resources in the Permian Basin, but I think you yourself have to get comfortable with being uncomfortable. You have to seize these resources, seek them out. I spent the first 25 years of my life in the same place and never would have taken the opportunity to seek out the resources in that community. Moving to Odessa, I changed my mindset. I said, I'm going to get uncomfortable, I'm coming out of my comfort zone, and I'm going to utilize the resources that are here, Woodward said. She added that joining organizations like YPO and Junior League has helped her in her career, as have the Discover Odessa guides, which allowed her to plug in. Paquette noted that downtown Odessa will be opening July 18th. Located in 4th Street and Jackson Avenue, it will be offering green space, concerts, special events, and eventually a building with classes, food, and other features. Thomas said people's weekdays and weekends can be busy. There are volunteer opportunities and markets. He added that all you have to do is open Facebook. Scott said, if you can hone in on what makes people tick, you can understand how they approach their work, and that leads to better work. I love to try to connect with people that I might not be super similar to, but I think even being intentional about the conversations you have and remembering what people are talking about, because people are talking about what is on their mind. Those are typically the things that they enjoy or that they are remembering or that matter to them. So if you remember those things and bring them up or find ways to talk about it, it goes a long way for others. So basically getting to know the human first and then getting to know the professional is what has been most successful for me, Scott said. Morales said she likes to connect with different organizations because she's always learning. She also wants to see where she can be most beneficial. Learn your city because that's how you can be the most useful to your community, and learn what you have in your backyard, she added. Thomas said young professionals have to start being more vocal about what they want and what they would like to see. If you want to see something, start asking questions and figuring out why it's not here and what can we do to get it here. Create movements that can get the eyes of the people who have the power and the money to start taking us seriously as well, Thomas said. Banda said young professionals need to take ownership of the fact that this is their community. It's going to thrive and be as successful as how much energy you put into it. Even as a young professional, I don't have a whole bunch of money or resources, but I'm a people person and I know how to talk to people, and I'm a storyteller so I can connect with somebody, Banda said. Scott said you can already see the foundation being laid downtown to reshape the narrative of Odessa. I think a lot of people think of this place as where people come to work. It's not where people come to live. It's an exciting opportunity to be here as we develop programs. As we have new businesses, as Odessa becomes a place that people want to come to, Texas is experiencing a lot of migration, and why can't Odessa be one of those places that people come to? Scott said. Thomas said companies should allow young people to be creative. Others on the panel mentioned that a lot of businesses want people with 5 years of experience, but young people who have just finished college don't have that, so give them a chance and don't underestimate them. Banda said life is no longer just about going to work 8 to 5. Those times are no more. I never know how this is going to be received, but I think as a young professional, the mentality is just because you're my superior or have seniority, you don't get to treat me however you want. I don't have to respect you if you don't respect me. Respect is a two-way street. Whenever you have young professionals in your organization, know what they value, which is being heard, and listen to their input. I'm not saying their ideas are the best, but make sure they feel like they have a buy-in into the organization. Show each other respect because I want to respect you as a human being and I want you to respect me as a human being. Like boss, superior, all that aside, that's what it comes down to, Banda said. Man accused of raping 10-year-old girl. A 42-year-old man was arrested Wednesday after a 10-year-old girl reported he raped her. According to an Ector County Sheriff's Office report, the girl's mother came into the sheriff's office on June 2nd and told authorities her daughter had been violated by Manasseh Abrego Castillo. The girl told a forensic interview at Harmony Home Children's Advocacy Center that Castillo raped and sodomized her, the report stated. She also underwent a sexual assault nurse examination. According to the report, Castillo failed to show up for a June 7th interview with investigators. Castillo was arrested Wednesday on suspicion of aggravated sexual assault of a child. He remains in the Ector County Jail on a $100,000 surety bond and an Immigration and Customs Enforcement hold. Odessans witness summer solstice sunrise at UTPB Stonehenge. For West Texans, summer may have felt like it started 3 months ago. However, the season officially began Wednesday with the summer solstice. Odessans gathered early to experience the summer solstice sunrise Wednesday at the Stonehenge replica at the University of Texas of the Permian Basin. Each year, a group of people have gathered at the Stonehenge replica to witness the summer solstice sunrise ever since it was completed back in 2004. The summer solstice is the longest day of the year in the Northern Hemisphere as one of the Earth's poles achieves maximum tilt toward the sun during the orbit. This was one of the first pieces of public art that was ever built on the university. UTPB art professor Chris Stanley said, "Some of the challenges of bringing public art to the university and navigate the ins and outs of how you get something like this approved is a lot. I tell people all the time that we had to go to UT Austin to get this approved. The challenge was that we had a campus that didn't have a lot of public art. We had a community at the time that didn't have a lot of public art. When you undertake the building of public arts, you're looking at not only bringing your own community into it, but also bringing people in from outside of the community. For the last 19 years, UTPB's Stonehenge replica has drawn thousands of visitors. While the real Stonehenge in Great Britain took over 1,000 years to build, Odessa's own replica was built in 6 weeks. Made of limestone slabs up to 19 feet tall and 20 tons apiece, Permian Basin's Stonehenge is shorter than the original, but it remains exactly in horizontal size and astronomically accurate. The replica gives people in West Texas a chance to experience the summer solstice sunrise without having to travel across the Atlantic Ocean to the UK. I think one of the challenges was, I don't think people didn't believe us, but I don't think people had ever seen it," Stanley said. People started showing up from all over the country. The kind of issue was that this was working, so I look at this as kind of a foundational piece for all of Odessa. It's the best job in the world. I get to tell people that my office is next to Stonehenge. Not only is June 21st the start of summer, but it's also International Day of Yoga. Among the people at this year's sunrise were yoga enthusiasts who were stretching at the Stonehenge replica. We joined up with a yoga studio because today is also International Day of Yoga. So you had the yoga people here, Stanley said. The Rotarians were here. How do you build a community? You need things like this for people to congregate around. Everyone in this town is so busy, so ironically, the easiest way to do this is at 5 a.m. We figured it out. 2004 was our first public viewing of the summer solstice. We are 19 years out. Odessans return for book signing. Permian High School graduates Heidi Schultz and Amy Hudson will have a book signing for Schultz's new book, Little Dinky's Big Adventure. The book, illustrated by Hudson, made a big splash at the flagship Barnes & Noble in Los Angeles. The story follows a baby hummingbird from his birth to his first flight with all of the predicaments and obstacles along the way that make his determination to reach his dream of flying even more important. The book is based on a real baby hummingbird and includes actual photos of his journey right outside of my kitchen window, Schultz said in an email. Schultz and Hudson grew up in Odessa and graduated in 1991 from Permian High School. Despite living in different parts of the world from each other since then, this is their second book created together. They are returning to the area for a book signing and reading at 1 p.m. August 5th at Barnes & Noble, 2617 West Loop 250 in Midland. Husband facing aggravated assault charge. A 33-year-old Odessa man was arrested Monday afternoon after his wife accused him of trying to run her down with a Hyundai Palisade. According to an Odessa Police Department report, dispatchers received a 911 call from the 1700 block of Buffalo Avenue from the 29-year-old wife. When officers met her near Don Avenue and Boise Drive, she told them her husband, Edgar Perez Campos, called her on the phone, accused her of infidelity, and said he was going to kill her, the report stated. According to the report, she told police she was trying to leave home before he arrived, but he pulled into the driveway, swerved toward her, and accelerated in an attempt to hit her. As she ran away, she said Campos continued to scream that he was going to run her over. Officers found fresh skid marks leading up to the driveway, in the grass, and back onto the driveway, the report stated. Officers pulled Campos over in the 1700 block of Buffalo Avenue and arrested him on suspicion of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, a second-degree felony punishable by 2 to 20 years in prison. Campos was released from the Ector County Jail Wednesday after posting a $40,000 surety bond. Pfluger TFB seeks farmers' protections. Cotton producers should get more consideration, they say. Reflected in the goals of Congressman August Pfluger and the Texas Farm Bureau, the writing of a new farm bill every 5 years in the House Agriculture Committee is a very complex undertaking. Representing some of Texas's most important cotton-producing areas in the 20 counties of his 11th congressional district, Pfluger says cotton farmers should get close attention in the 2023 Farm Bill because their cost of production have risen by 24% since 2018. When converted to a seed cotton basis, the reference price of 36.7 cents per pound falls well short of the current cost, said Pfluger, a San Angelo Republican who represents Ector County. The statutory seed cotton reference price in the Agriculture Risk Coverage and Price Loss Coverage Commodity Safety Net programs should be increased to better reflect current cost of production. He added that the new farm bill should enhance cotton's safety net by eliminating the prohibition of simultaneous enrollment in the Stacked Income Protection Plan and PLC. Growers who do not have a seed cotton base or who choose to forego enrollment in the seed cotton ARC PLC program should have the opportunity to purchase stacks coverage at the 95% level, Pfluger said. In a comprehensive review of his agriculture-related priorities, he said his district is one of the most abundant suppliers of agriculture resources in the United States, and farmers and ranchers here and across the country deserve a farm bill that allows them to keep producing the food and fiber our country needs to survive. It is also imperative to protect and strengthen programs that help livestock producers return to normal operations following adverse weather, attacks by predators, or extreme conditions. He said the Agricultural Department's Feral Hog Program should include additional legislation for wolves and birds of prey. Pfluger said Title I payments should be based on historic rather than planted acreage. He said the Farm Bill should establish U.S. Department of Agriculture research funding restrictions on institutions of higher education that have a relationship with the Confucius Institutes of the People's Republic of China. The Chinese Communist Party is utilizing Confucius Institutes to infiltrate American university campuses and engage in espionage, steal our intellectual property, and funnel information back to the People's Liberation Army, Pfluger said. Under no circumstances should USDA funds be pulled from American producers to enrich the CPA or the PLA. The Texas Farm Bureau seeks a limited irrigation category in the Risk Management Agency Crop Insurance Program. Support for a stock tank and farm pond cleanup program, and support for livestock market owners to invest in the ownership of small, very small, and regional meatpacking and processing facilities. Other 2023 TFB goals include more money for the feral hog control programs and pilot projects, and opposition to any foreign entity or persons getting tax credits, abatements, incentives, or any other in-kind contributions that affect the taking of agricultural land in the U.S. The TFB also opposes any Securities and Exchange Commission ruling that would require emissions reporting that could directly or indirectly impact farmers and ranchers. The TFB backs deferring recognition of income for 1 year for all or a percentage of crop insurance or indemnity payments. Pfluger wants improved access to the Stacked Income Protection Plan. He said, because growers enrolled in ARC PLC are currently limited in their access to crop insurance products due to a prohibition on the purchase of STAX for enrolled farms. It is critical to look at current ad hoc disaster programs because the Wildfires and Hurricanes Indemnity Relief Program and Emergency Relief Program are a lifeline for farmers and ranchers dealing with extreme weather conditions, the congressman said. However, it is becoming increasingly difficult to extend these programs and get them implemented in a timely manner. The 2023 Farm Bill should make disaster programs more palatable and streamlined while working in tandem with current crop insurance programs. Pfluger also wants to maintain the Pima Agriculture Cotton Trust Fund, the Wool Apparel Manufacturing Trust Fund, and the Wool Research and Promotion Program. These programs represent a collaborative effort of the domestic growers and producers of raw Pima cotton and wool, as well as domestic manufacturers of wool and cotton yarns, fabrics, and apparel, he said. They respond to various tariff and trade policies that have disadvantaged these important American agricultural and industrial sectors, and they are essential to placing these sectors on a more level playing field against foreign competitors. They also maintain essential domestic capabilities in a highly globalized supply chain, which has significant implications for national security and healthcare preparedness.
This is Reed, and this is the Midland Reporter Telegram Health and Wellness for Wednesday, June 21st, 2023. Cardiac Health. Free heart screening for Midland teens. Championship Hearts, MMH, to offer free screening on July 29th. Midland Health is hosting a free teen heart screening for the youth in our community through a partnership with Championship Hearts Foundation. The mission of Championship Hearts is to prevent sudden cardiac death in the adolescent population. By screening for unrecognized heart conditions, we also strive to provide reassurance for young athletes and their families. Cardiac disease is the number one cause of death in the U.S., yet the adolescent population is not generally screened for heart abnormalities. The leading cause of sudden cardiac death in youth is hypertrophic cardiomyopathy, HCM, a serious heart condition that affects 1 in 500 of the general population. HCM has no symptoms, and sudden cardiac arrest is usually the first sign of any trouble. During the last 23 years, Championship Hearts has screened more than 28,400 Texas youth and has determined on average 1 in 250 has a condition known to cause sudden cardiac death. The free heart screening offered by Championship Hearts Foundation includes a 12-lead electrocardiogram, ECG, and a limited echocardiogram, ECHO, two tests not typically part of standard pre-participation medical examinations for adolescents. Estimated at a $700 value, the screening is offered free of charge to any teens ages 14 through 18. The tests are non-invasive and painless. Although designed to detect HCM, the screening can also reveal other serious heart abnormalities, such as long QT syndrome, Wolff-Parkinson-White syndrome, and bicuspid aortic valve disease. The Championship Hearts Screening Program is recognized by the Texas Chapter of the American College of Cardiology as a quality initiative. On July 29th, Midland teens have the opportunity to receive this free heart screening, providing important baseline health knowledge for those students and their families. Local volunteer cardiologists will provide immediate screening results to appreciative parents and students. If suspected heart conditions are identified, students will receive a referral for further pediatric cardiology evaluation. For most attendees, the entire process will be completed in about 1 hour. Want to get your teen's heart screened? Championship Hearts Foundation and Midland Memorial will offer the free teen heart screening on July 29th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Pre-registration is available online at www.champhearts.org or by calling the foundation at 888-884-6945 or 512-900-3243. Volunteer opportunities are also available at the August screening for adults and high school students via the Get Involved tab on the Foundation website. Dr. Viola Coleman Awards Dinner. Midland County Medical Society holds awards dinner. The annual Midland County Medical Society Viola M. Coleman, MD, Memorial Scholarship Awards Dinner was held June 15th at Midland Country Club. For more than 40 years, the Medical Society, whose membership comprises approximately 155 physicians in Midland, has awarded scholarships as part of its mission to prepare the next generation of physicians who will provide care to West Texas area. In 2006, after the passing of Dr. Coleman in 2005, the membership voted to award their annual scholarships in her memory. Coleman was a champion for those who had no one else to help them. She dedicated her life and service to those less fortunate by providing medical care for untold numbers of Midland residents over the course of her medical career, which spanned 55 years. These scholarships are awarded to students from the Midland area who are enrolled in medical schools in Texas. Partial matching grants were received again this year from the Texas Medical Association Foundation Medical Student Scholarship Fund and the Hispanic Medical Student Scholarship and Grant Trust Fund of Dr. Roberto J. and Agnelia Annie M. Bayardo, in memory of Agnelia Annie M. Bayardo. The Medical Society gratefully acknowledges these matching grants, which enabled the organization to increase the amount of their scholarships to 5 deserving medical school students this year. Wesley Thompson grew up in Fort Stockton and San Angelo. He grew to love the area of West Texas and enjoy the good natures and camaraderie of its people. Due to the immense amount of support his family received after the passing of his mother, Wesley considers this area his home. He is excited about providing comprehensive care to all members of these smaller communities. He attends University of Texas Southwestern Medical School. He has gravitated toward the idea of full-spectrum family medicine, where the physician holds inpatient, outpatient, obstetric, and minor surgical responsibilities. He participated in the TAFP Summer Preceptorship Program with Dr. Shivam Agrawal in Jacksboro, where he solidly passed the corresponding pre-clerkship curriculum. Wesley intends to graduate with a distinction in community health. This pursuit has allowed him to research and work with many underserved groups in Dallas, with the goal to educate and improve personal health care practices. Zach Gray grew up as a third-generation Midlander. Following graduation from high school, he chose to attend Texas Tech, graduating with magna cum laude honors. During his time at Tech, he participated in the Bernard Harris Pre-Medical Society, researched and helped publish a book and 2 articles examining COVID-19 and lifestyle. Worked with Habitat for Humanity, taught English classes to recent immigrants, and completed a hospital internship at Covenant Medical Center in Lubbock. He also spent time physician shadowing and serving in community and church capacities. He is excited to continue his education at Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center School of Medicine. He is grateful for his roots in Midland and for his wife, who he met while in high school. Zach plans to return to practice medicine in the area he knows and loves. Jake Sellers grew up in Amarillo and Lubbock before moving to Odessa, where he graduated from Permian High School. His parents and grandparents live in the area, and he appreciates the unique values of the West Texas community. To stay close to home and learn from the patient population he is familiar with, he attended Texas Tech for undergraduate education, graduate school, and now attends Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center School of Medicine. He served as the Medical Student Government Vice President and Chairman for the Dean's Contingency Fund, where he assisted in allocating money for medical student research pursuits. He has published 10 medical journal articles and has presented at numerous conferences. Jake understands the need for physicians in rural areas and hopes to earn a urology residency in order to give to these communities in the future. Michael Mangan moved to Midland at 10 years of age. where he attended St. Anne's Catholic School and Early College High School. There he joined the Primary Care Pathway Program at Midland College. He worked as a chemistry tutor, volunteered as a swim coach at COM, and was chemistry club president at Midland College before being accepted into the University of North Texas Health Sciences Center, Texas College of Osteopathic Medicine. This year at UNT in Denton, he made the dean's list, both fall and spring semesters. He enjoys helping in the community and credits his success to the education and life experiences obtained while living in Midland. For these reasons, he plans to return to practice medicine in order to give back to the community that has given him these opportunities. Corey Howell attended middle and high school in Midland. While in high school, he learned about the Primary Care Pathway Program and was immediately interested. He was accepted into the Rural Osteopathic Medical Program at the University of North Texas Health Sciences Center, Texas College of Osteopathic Medicine, where he was later chosen as student representative. During medical school, he has been highly involved in leadership and extracurricular activities, including ultrasound interest group, Texas Rural Health Association, and the Student Anesthesia Chapter. Michael has also served as mission trip coordinator to frontier towns in West Texas. He still has family in the Midland area and is excited to use his medical training to benefit the community. Training tips. Staying hydrated for long runs in hot weather. Runners are gearing up for the summer training season, and for many, that includes hot and humid long runs. Running under those conditions, for instance, temperatures greater than 80 degrees Fahrenheit and relative humidity of more than 50%, requires extra attention to hydration. We spoke with researchers and experts in hydration about the best ways to hydrate before, during, and after a long run of 90 minutes or more in hot weather. 1. Hydrate adequately before your run. Runners should begin their long run in what researchers call a, quote, "euhydrated or well-hydrated state," end quote, said Courtney Benjamin, an assistant professor of kinesiology at Samford University. It can be difficult to catch up to your hydration status during the run if you are not properly hydrated, experts said. If you're going out for a long run in the heat in the morning, you should consume a couple extra glasses of water the evening before within a few hours of dinner, said Douglas Casa, chief executive of the Corey Stringer Institute at the University of Connecticut, a not-for-profit organization focused on athlete health and safety. If it's more of a midday run, take in extra fluids around breakfast time or mid-morning of the same day, he said. After your run, you want to replace what you lost within 60 to 90 minutes of completing the activity, Casa said. 2. Plan how you'll hydrate during your run. Whether you should drink until you're no longer thirsty or using a pre-established drinking plan depends on the length of the run, weather, and your goal, experts said. If your run is over 90 minutes in the heat and you have a competitive performance goal, Benjamin recommended having a plan based on your sweat rate, how much you sweat during physical activity, to determine how much fluid to consume. There are online guides to help you calculate your sweat rate. For runs shorter in duration, lower in intensity, or in a cooler environment, quote, "drinking to thirst is probably going to be good enough for you," end quote, she said. 3. Don't overhydrate. While hydration is key, it is critically important that runners do not drink to the point that they are gaining weight during their runs, Benjamin said. That may be a sign that you are overhydrating, which may lead to hyponatremia, a rare but potentially fatal condition where the blood sodium level is below normal. Quote, "ideally, you start the session well hydrated and then you don't gain weight at all," end quote, Benjamin said. 4. Consider sodium or electrolyte drinks. Replenishing sodium levels through sports drinks or powdered electrolyte mixes can be helpful, especially in competitive settings, experts said. Sodium can be beneficial during long runs in the heat because it promotes thirst and makes us want to drink more fluid, Benjamin said. 5. Know how much water your body needs. Researchers recommended figuring out your hydration status and sweat rate. There is a simple technique to check your baseline hydration status at home, researchers said. It's known as the WUT method, which stands for body weight, urine color, and thirst perception. Weigh yourself before and after your run with minimal clothing and use your sweat rate calculation to avoid reaching 2% body mass loss on future runs, Benjamin said. Urine color can also be a useful metric for assessing hydration status. The Corey Stringer Institute uses a color-coded chart in which the higher the number, the greater the degree of dehydration. If your urine, quote, looks more like apple juice, you're probably not hydrated, end quote, Benjamin said. Quote, if it looks more like lemonade, you probably are, end quote.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.